Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, sup, Doc listeners. We are here with a special interview with the Drunken Film Fest. Are you the curator?
We'll say festival director.
Festival director Arlen Golden. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Thank you for coming. Yeah. And you're the festival director of the Drunken Film Fest, which takes place this year in Oakland.
Yes, Drunken Film Fest has been going on for 3 years in Bradford, England. I was the documentary programmer there, so I did all the docs for the past 3 years. And last year they flew me out, and I saw how it worked, and I was like, we should just do this in Oakland. I won't have to fly across an ocean, and yeah, it just makes sense. So all the screenings are free. They're held in bars across the city, and hence the name.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, so
if Oakland has anything,
free.
It's bars. Yeah.
Yeah. Oakland has a lot of bars.
Right.
To choose from. And this festival's free.
Yep. Yeah. Oh. Free, you know, walk into a bar and, you know, there's movies going on. Might as well check it out and have a drink.
Yeah.
But yeah, to that effect, I brought by some drinks here.
Oh, what do you got?
I got some. Fixins for Uncle Bill.
Oh, an Uncle Bill? What's an Uncle Bill?
Uncle Bill from American movie fame.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
It's got a good taste to it.
It's got a good taste to it. It's okay. It's all right. Jesus told me
this is much better
so.
Than when we made the guests drink Faygo. We had the Faygo tasting one time.
Yeah. Yeah. That tastes pretty good.
I did this once years ago for like New Year's. I think it was okay, but I mean... You wouldn't think peppermint schnapps and Sprite is the most palatable.
But when you grow up in Milwaukee,
as
they did, as Mark Borchard and his Uncle Bill. Did you bring these glasses too?
Yeah.
Wow. You, sir.
I didn't want to impose upon you.
Right. Yeah. That is amazing. You are a good guest,
this
sir.
This is the kind of treatment you'll get coming to the first Drunken Film Fest Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that pour?
I did. We don't have contact mics. That would be nice to have. Like, this is definitely, you're going to have to make all the guests do this now. They're going to have to bring a drink or an edible or something.
Something, yes. We should always have a drink for that fits the doc. I don't know. I mean.
That's a good, I thought of that before. Yeah, that's like there's a podcast.
Cheers, Garland.
Yeah.
There's a podcast that combines films that's and wine good. Pairings.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty
them.
Tasty.
We'll do something else.
So, yeah. So Arlen just poured a glass of, what do you got there?
It's peppermint schnapps and Sprite.
That's
cola.
Peppermint schnapps and Sprite cola. That's not just any peppermint schnapps either. That's De Kuyper.
De Kuyper.
That's a good name in schnapps.
The finest of the Ninth and Mission liquor store.
So nice. Drinking Film Fest is literally about drinking. I've seen different things on the website. It was like a little undersold.
Yeah. Personally, I'm not a huge drinker bar guy. I think people who know me would probably say I'm more into the reefer.
Right.
Sure. But bars are great community meeting spots. They, you know, give us the space to screen the films for free, and we're hopefully going to give them some extra business on a weeknight that they wouldn't normally have. So it's a win-win.
Maybe a chance to class up a joint.
Yeah, you know? Why not? I mean, you know, you got joints like Eli's Mile High and Stegel Deli. I mean, they're pretty classy already. That's, you know,
those are classy places.
Not the Eli's I remember, but no, it's changed ownership several times.
A little bit of facetious in there. Yeah, I mean, you know, as classy as sitting in a shipping container is for you.
Do you already have the bars? You have the locations already.
Yeah. Cemented. I mean, let's go through it. So we open October 7th at the Layover, which your listeners may have seen in Boots Riley's film, Sorry to Bother You.
Yeah.
And which Paco and I both performed at. They have a comedy night on Tuesdays. Yeah.
There you go. So we're all in this community together.
Yeah.
Next up on that Monday, Stegel Deli. Tuesday, Lost and Found Beer Garden. Wednesday, Telegraph Beer Garden. Thursday is Eli's. And Friday is Classic Cars West, which is a fun outdoor venue. I think, is that six? Did I say six things?
It seemed like six. Yeah.
Hopefully that was six.
I think that was six.
Yeah. But
what's the last one? The
Classic Cars West. They also have Hella Vegan Eats in there. They're kind of like a big old indoor-outdoor space. They also sell old-timey cars. They do a bunch of stuff. They're cool. I don't know.
That's awesome. Yeah. So let me... Okay, so this the Drunken Film Fest started in Bradford,
England. Yeah.
So how did they get a hold of you?
So the founder there, Jackie Griffin, her and I both write for the same publication, Film Inquiry.
Oh.
So they lost the Bradford International Film Festival, and she was pretty miffed about that. So she started the only other film festival in Bradford, which is Leeds adjacent.
Okay.
West Yorkshire. Oh. Yeah. In the north of England. And so I was just doing the documentary programming there, got really into the scouting of festivals and seeing, you know, what kind of new stuff is on the scene. And this is the first full program I've ever done. We have 70 films, you know, all of them have the Arlen seal of approval. So yeah, looking forward to
it. What does that seal look like?
Man, it's pretty waxy. It's a waxy, hairy, sleepy symbol feel.
Yeah.
So out of those 70 films, how many a lot of them are fiction, narrative, and then how many documentaries are there?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Let's do it up. So a little over a dozen. We'll call it 14 nonfiction shorts, and maybe some hybrid thrown in to add to that number. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really running the gamut in terms of tone and subject matter. There's some light stuff, there's some heavier stuff, there's some kind of experimental stuff. But I mean, it's, people talk about the golden age of documentary so much right now. What's going on in the short scene is just really, really cutting edge. And you know, you wouldn't know it from, I feel like everyone just hears about the five nominees for Best Short Oscar, which are all pretty standard and issue oriented. Mm-hmm. But there's so much innovation and creativity going on in short nonfiction right now, and it's really exciting to see, and I'm super happy to be able to show the films we're showing.
That's awesome. And these filmmakers, they got a hold of the Drunken Film Festival through a submission process, or were these curated?
Yeah, by and large, I'm reaching out to these folk and, you know, explaining our fest. You know, they all seem interested. You know, the fact that we're free, we're not making any money on any of this, really speaks to filmmakers. I've produced a few shorts myself, and there's a real growing discontent among independent filmmakers about sort of the festival racket. And, you know, paying high submission fees, you know, the festival making all this money on ticket sales, and none of that is seen by the filmmakers. So, you know, I came up against some of that doing scouting even, but I think people really appreciate that we're free and open to the public and independent, and we're not out to cash any checks on anybody's work.
Wow, that's awesome. So there's a lot of short film festival and or just festival people producers making a bunch of cash and not handing it back to filmmakers.
Yeah, I mean, every festival is different. I've been to a number up around Northern California here, and you know, some of them will put you up for the duration of the festival and give you some meals. Some of them have like cool homestay programs. Some of them, you know, have nothing to offer you, but they're still selling tickets and making money that way. But really, I mean, for me, it was similar to how Jackie, you know, lost her festival in Bradford. I just felt like I was being brought out to all these film festivals, and the vibe is very kind of upper class, and there's everyone puts on airs. Everyone wants to be like fancy, like Sundance or something, you know.
A lot of turtlenecks.
But like I feel like my social anxiety would just like really crank up at those sort of.
Well, of course they would. It's like it's uncomfortable to begin with.
But I mean, like, you know, most indie filmmakers are, you know, not that well off, and you know, the festivals are the fanciest things they get to go to. So I just felt like, you know, having it in a bar, having it somewhere that's already comfortable, that you already know and go to, just kind of create a different experience for filmmakers and film goers too. I mean, like a lot of great fests here in San Francisco, but you know, some of them are a little pricey to buy a ticket. You know, it could get $25-$30 just ticket for, you know, a premiere film. So I really wanted to offer something that was free and accessible to anyone over 21 at least.
Yeah, I also feel like Oakland's having a really good film year overall, and I think this, like, the demand is definitely there, and I feel like the booster, like we were saying about film festivals, tend to be kind of about like local boosterism in a way, and like I feel like doing a free thing in Oakland is like, it's like very Oakland to have a free thing at bars, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we kind of lucked out. I mean, I was aware of Sorry to Bother You. I wasn't super aware of Blind Spotting. Mm-hmm. You know, Black Panther obviously happened. And
even though it's Atlanta playing Oakland.
Yeah,
they,
right.
They brought
a
bus over there. They brought an AC Transit bus.
Oakland as represented by one high rise. but yeah, you know, we're it's all, you know, serendipity, I think, and really looking forward to having y'all out at the festival.
That's awesome. And what are the dates of the festival?
October 7th through 12th. That's the second week of October. 7th through the 12th is Sunday through Friday.
Awesome. And they can go to the website, obviously. And
drunkenfilmfest.com. We're on all the social media things at DFF Oakland. I got a great social media guy, Daniel, who's running all that and has great updates on film happenings in the Bay Area. Program, I guess by the time this goes out, will be live.
Yeah.
So, check out those films.
And that's kind of how we got connected with you, is through Daniel, your social media dude. Is that right, George?
I just reached out to him. I think he followed us on Twitter, and I was like, wait, what is this? And it seemed like a perfect thing for us. We're very heavily, you know, our audience is very Bay Area, and obviously documentary. I was like, what's the documentary side of this? How do we work this in with documentaries? Because it's not a documentary festival, just so people understand. It's just there is a documentary component. So,
yeah. And then there's also docs every night. So we're not doing, you know, like a doc program, an animation program. We're kind of mixing everything up so people keep coming out. If I wouldn't want, you know, just the doc people to come out one night and not the rest of it and not see some of the other cool stuff we're showing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially if it's free, I mean, having an opportunity to see some independent filmmaking, some great underground stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when I was younger, there was like a real sense of discovery around some of the short fests. Like, do you remember like Spike and Mike?
Oh, I love Spike. I always talk about the Spike and Mike thing. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, like just, you know, weird, short, underground. Like you really felt like you were discovering something that like nobody else knew about. And I mean, there's some stuff on the internet flying around, but like there's so much content flying around all over the place on all the different screens that things get lost in the mix. So, I'm really, really happy with the program we've got for everyone.
That's awesome. What is your, like, where do you come from? Did you grow up in the Bay?
I grew up in Chicago. Been out here, came out here in 2013, so going on 6 years.
And your day job involves film documentary distribution or film distribution, is that right?
Sure, yeah. I'm a director of operations over at Video Project. We, you know, are documentary distributors to mostly schools and libraries, but we're a little broader than that in the broadcast and streaming and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, docs are, you know, for better or worse, my life.
Us too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens. I think that's awesome, man. Like,
yeah, how did you get at getting that job?
Man, I mean, so I came here from Chicago. I was coming out with the girl I was seeing at a time who was from here and couldn't really hang with the weather in Chicago. And I felt like this place kicked my ass, kind of like people talk about New York kicking their ass, you know, like you just, I wallowed working for Instacart for 2 years as a driver. And then I found, you know, this doc internship on Craigslist, just kind of, you know, hustled there, made myself essential, got lucky with some people quitting and they just kind of, brought me up and, yeah, been doing great there ever since, you know, picking up some good, real good films. And you guys on Canopy at all? You guys?
Oh yeah, Canopy? I use Canopy. Yeah, it's part of the. You can do it with the library card down here. At yeah, LAPL.
Man, I love Canopy. They're basically like a publicly funded Netflix, where if your library has it, and I know LAPL and SFPL both have it, you just need your library card, and you have access to all these great documentaries, classic film, foreign film, short stuff. But it's just like the library there is amazing. They added the Frederick Weissman collection recently. Wow. And that's, you know, never been streaming anywhere before.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So, get on Canopy, check out some cool docs. You could see all of the Video Project's films on there free to you.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, check that. And if you have a San Francisco Public Library card, you can get that for free.
For free.
Canopy with a K. And Canopy with a K.
So smart. Canopy with a K. Yeah. But it's such a crazy resource. It's ridiculous that it's not like the streaming platform.
Yeah.
Yet.
Didn't they get the Criterions after Hulu lost the Criterions?
Yeah. They got, I mean, like Criterion has, you know, their Filmstruck thing now and most of their stuff's on there. But they have like the core, you know, like your Seven Samurai and your Bergman and 8.5 and whatever else.
Even just some random rom-coms that we've stumbled across. We're like, oh, we'll watch this rom-com, you know, from like 2 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I also want to say is SupDoc is not in this festival. So if people are wondering like, oh, when is SupDoc? Because we've done a few live SupDoc stuff in Sketchfest, SF Sketchfest and some.
Next year.
Yeah, but maybe next year we'll get our asses in the Drunken Film Fest. That would be awesome. Especially it's right in our neighborhood and George basically is the mayor of Oakland. So.
In absentia, mayor of Oakland, yeah.
He got chased out, but that's a whole different conversation. Oh my goodness. That's a political thing.
Oh,
well, we're having a mayor's race right now. You should get back.
Oh,
in the
really?
Game.
Oh man, yeah, I got some opinions. So let's talk a little bit about some of the films that you and it seems like you reached out to film. So they're not all California or Bay Area filmmakers. They're international, I guess. Is that part of it?
Yeah. I would say mostly U.S. We have a few international docs, three local docs.
Oh yeah.
I think all three came out of the Stanford documentary MFA program.
Oh, cool.
Which they got going. It's a great program. Elizabeth Lowe, who's one of our judges and did a short you may have seen called Hotel 22 about like a bus line in Palo Alto that just kind of serves as a de facto homeless shelter. She came out of that program and she's one of our judges for the documentary program we have here. But those films are, and their filmmakers is, man, umlauts, Erin Samin Coakdill, I want to say.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. She has two Oakland-based films, one called All That We Carry about a Guatemalan refugee and one called Unheard about, you know, a mother dealing with losing her son to a police shooting. And then Olivia Shaw and Paloma Martinez is The Shift, which premiered at Doc NYC and is a really interesting short that I would never really think to document, that looks at the 911 call responders that work overnight in San Francisco.
Oh, so, wow.
Like the late night.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Those people have stories.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's a real, you know, stress-free job. Yeah. Just kind of kick your feet up.
Chilling.
Yeah, yeah. You know, shoot the show.
It's
with
basically
your
just a startup.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hanging out.
So yeah, really happy to have those Bay Area films in. But yeah, we've got films from all over. One that's a little bit on the weirder side. If you like weird stuff, come out on Tuesday to Lost and Found for Sherry, which is by Elian Lima, who's a Brazilian filmmaker, and is just kind of a verite slice of life look at this guy, Robert, who lives in Palm Springs, who is into the whole living doll thing.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, so yeah. Like no narration, no real narrative, just kind of let's watch this guy do his thing for 20 plus minutes.
Is it like more like cinema verite style?
Yeah, you know.
Wow. That seems to be like coming back again, like swinging back is that verite style.
You know, I mean, there's so many docs out there and there's so many styles. I mean, like, you know, the big ones of the summer definitely weren't that way. You know, like the biopics and the Three Identical Strangers was very narrative.
Staircase.
But like, yeah. I mean, there's so much going on in verite or direct cinema, whatever you want to call it. But I personally, that's more my jam. I think, you know, like, you know, I mean, we could talk about documentary ethics for hours, but I mean, like, you know, what's the truth? You know, where's the mediation? You know, is it a false sense of authenticity to, you know, not have the filmmaker present in the camera and to seem like, okay, I'm just a fly on a wall when really, you know, there is no fly on the wall. Everyone acts different when a camera's around.
Right.
But I mean, these are the questions that these films will make you ask.
Those are good questions. Those are all good questions. Speaking of verite style, I watched Oh, What a Beautiful City, Lucy Walker's short film.
Yep.
We talked about that a little bit before we started recording, about a public pool in the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Yeah. And I'm super honored to have a film from Lucy Walker out there. Have you guys done an episode on Devil's Playground yet?
Oh, no, we haven't.
I love that doc.
That's great, though.
I'm surprised, yeah.
Well, I know. There's so many docs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tell Devil's Playground is awesome.
Yeah, that's
classic.
Amazing.
It is classic. Rum Springer.
Right. And I mean, it basically got co-opted into like a reality show.
It did. Ah. And that reality show was horrible.
Right. Yeah.
So garbage.
But
and here's, I got to just say real quick about that reality show. I'm making air quotes. It's not real if there's a three camera shoot. You know what I'm saying? If there's like a fight that breaks out, but it's shot in three camera angles, it's like that's not going to happen.
Right,
especially
right.
If there's a stationary camera involved.
Totally.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but so you know, that was her first film. She went on to do like Buena Vista Social Club.
Right.
And you know, like I said, people were super receptive to just the concept of the festival, which, you know, it took me back. I mean, I'm just a guy like with a screen and a projector, setting up shop and bars.
AV guy.
So, yeah, that I was able to pull some of these is, I'm just super humbled by.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Well, congratulations on that.
You know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews. But now, we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So Arlen, I saw on the list of some of the docs that you're showing one that I can't find a trailer for. And so I really got to ask you about Aaron Paul Lovett's film, Gays for Trump. Does it have the question mark in the title?
Yeah.
Okay, I good. That's how I was reading it. Gays for Trump? Yeah, I threw an explanation.
The question mark is the gays for Trump?
Right.
You know, exist, apparently.
Yeah. Hmm. I could see that.
But I think one follows one guy, I believe in North Carolina. This showed at the River Run Festival, which has a lot of North Carolina stuff, who, you know, started this organization, Gays for Trump, to get the LGBT community behind Trump during the 2016 election. And, you know, he got his boyfriend on board, and that's just a real interesting dynamic they have together. You know, where are we? What are the identity politics behind this? I don't even know. You could talk, you know, race, class, gender. Mm-hmm. You know, this was made during the election, so be interesting to get a follow up to see if it's, you know, still gays for Trump or not. But
right, you might just have a colon after it now.
I mean, this is, you know, this is this is the kind of stuff that's just kind of like, you know, what I feel like you wouldn't think of it, just, you know, thinking about subjects for a doc. I think, you know, people think about a lot about biopics, people think a lot about current issue films, and which, you know, Gays for Trump is centered around contemporary themes, but I like to get real niche with these kind of things.
Right.
There's another doc kind of tangential to it called Roadside Attraction by Yvette Lucas and Patrick Bresnan. I don't want to spoil it, but something appears on the side of the highway in Florida, and it causes a big old commotion. People got to pull over and take their selfies with it.
You had me at Florida. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
I feel Arlen, I don't, if you're up to this, I feel like you could be our, like, our reporter on the street, our man on the street, like our White House correspondent guy, you know.
Lay it,
like,
on me.
George and I will have to go to even some segments and just see what's happening, you know.
Right on, man.
Yeah, because you're actually going out to festivals to kind of get distribution for some of these films? Is that how that works?
Yeah, I mean, some, you know, mostly around California. But, you know, a lot of this is done through the magic art of email.
I'm old school.
Yeah, scouting just all the lineups that come out, seeing what sounds cool and new and interesting. Is this something, you know, for a video project to sell to schools? Is this something for a film festival that's just weird and... You know, I mean, you know, some of the stuff we screened at Bradford, I had some real divisive opinions about. There was one last summer called Happy Happy Baby about some folks in Germany that do the whole age play, role play, diaper wearing.
Yeah.
Sure. In Germany, sort of, you thing. Say. That's surprising.
You had me in Germany.
Germany or Florida. Yeah, right.
Pretty much the same.
Oh, I have a question about Film Inquiry. Do you want to talk a little bit about that website or what you guys do there?
Yeah, by all means. Yeah. Film Inquiry is a, you know, pretty cool, comprehensive just criticism site you know, I mean, there's a lot out there. It's I'm sure you guys know as podcasters, you know, the field is crowded, but, you know, we've gotten to a point where, you know, we're up on Rotten Tomatoes and we're getting all the advanced screeners for all the major films. And I've been lucky enough to cover the SF International Film Fest as press for Film Inquiry the past couple of years and see just an absurd amount of docs in a 2 week span.
Doc Fest is amazing.
Yep. Did you go this year?
I went to two. Yeah.
Oh, we were part of one thing.
Did you see Pain of Others?
No.
The Penny Lane film. I love that film.
Oh, nice.
Up on Fandor now for anyone who happens to have Fandor.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, from the film SF International Film Fest, if you got a chance to see Hale County this morning, this evening, that's been my favorite movie that I've seen so far this year. I think it's due to come out in October, maybe.
Nice.
And then Mining the Gap, which just dropped on Hulu.
I heard great things about that. I've been meaning to see
too.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You know, through Kartemquin, who has done all of Steve James's films and, you know, Hoop Dreams and everything. But yeah, that's, you know, a modern epic, American epic.
Awesome. Let's go through some social media stuff so people know where and how to get some info for the Drunken Film Fest. Why don't you walk them through some of that?
Sure, yeah. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all at DFF Oakland. Say hi to my good friend Daniel Turner, who has, you know, made this festival so much more than it would have been otherwise.
That's awesome.
Being present here right now, you know, evidence of that. I'm on Twitter at Cereal Burrito. If you want to holler at me
or have a burrito.
Yeah. And that's cereal like for breakfast, not like the other podcast.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we're always posting, you know, there's going to be more info about the fest. We'll post some info about maybe some attending filmmakers or subjects. I don't want to jinx anything, but I was told today by the director that the subject of the film Tom Noddy will be attending his screening.
Oh, cool.
Which is on Wednesday at the Telegraph. He's a bubble artist.
Just
blows bubbles, makes some cool art with bubbles and smoke, and I don't know. Maybe he'll bust out the old wands for the screening.
You can only hope.
Yeah, right.
That'd be awesome.
Telegraph is the outdoor beer garden, right? That used to be Mama Buzz. Is it that one?
Yes. Right. On Telegraph in Koreatown.
I've never seen films projected back there, so it's going to be in the kind of the beer garden part. You're going to have screens and projectors and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm carrying a screen around and a projector to all the venues.
Wow.
Telegraph happens to already have a screen, mm-hmm. so I'll be able to lighten my load on my bike a little bit there. But yeah, I mean, three out of half the venues are outdoors.
Okay.
So, you know, we're here in October, which for San Francisco is kind of the summer.
It's our summer, baby.
Right. Yeah. So I figure, you know, sun will be down right around when we start at 7 mm-hmm. after the daylight. Is that after daylight savings? I don't know. I'm not a farmer. Right. but
you're from Chicago, so it's close.
It's close. Yeah, exactly. Stinky onion. That's what Chicago means.
Well,
I thought it was a mushroom. It had something to do with mushrooms.
News to me.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take it. I'll take a mushroom over an onion any day.
The Mushroom Film Festival is a different festival, Paco. You can have it anytime.
Right.
Arlen, I want to just say congratulations on your first time doing this festival. It looks like a really cool thing.
Thank you.
I will clink my own glass on this end. I don't even have Sprite, so I can't do even part of an Uncle Bill.
You can't have an Uncle Bill. Yeah, thanks, Arlen. This is awesome. Congratulations to you guys.
Drunken Film Fest.
Thank you guys so much for having me, and congratulations to you guys. I hear episode 100's coming up.
Yeah.
Monday, October 29th, our 100th episode.
I'll be sure to listen.
Thank you, buddy.
And maybe we'll get some listeners from Bradford or Leeds now. Some crossovers. Hey.
Social media, anything can happen.
That's right. Thanks.
Thanks
for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com. and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scoville.
If you want us to cover a doc, have suggestions for guests, or you just want to reach out, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.